So we are in Perek Yud Zayin. We have Rashi date. What? We are, it also happens to be the 10th of April and the 25th of Nisan, Tav Shanayin Ches. And so we're in Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17. We did Chumash and Rashi before the break. It's a pretty short Perek, so we'll end up covering most of it today as well. So the parsha begins. This is following the parsha of the mitzvah of the avodah and Yom Kippurim. So by Devar Hashem Moshelimur, Debel Aaron Vil Banav Yal Kol Bnei Yisrael V'Marta Lehem. Speak to Aaron and his children and all the children of Israel. Say to them, Zeh Adavar Asher Tziva Hashem Lemur. This is the thing that Hashem is commanding, saying. So what's going on here? Why Zeh Adavar? So the Sforno claims that this is going back to not the previous parak, but the previous parak, the end of Parshas Mitzor, we talked about the Tumah. That Keshamar Vizartimus Benezel Mituma Sam, Hezer Shanaf Rishim Gan Kemi Tumas Ruach HaTumah VaHashedim. There is also a command to separate from the Tumah of the Ruach HaTumah, from the impure spirits, and the Shedim. Shedim make an appearance over the course of this parak. This is, as far as I know, the main description of Shedim, which appears in, is hinted to in one word over the course of this parak, but the Ramban and the Sforno both take the time to give you their theories on Shedim. So we'll get to that shortly. But Daber al-Bnei Yisrael, Daber al-Aron v'el-Banav, v'el-Kol b'nei Yisrael. So the Ramban points out that, that's interesting, what exactly is the command here? Now the mitzvah that is discussed right off the bat is the idea that you're not, is Shkuti Chutz, is the prohibition of shechting things outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ramban says, Bavur HaYos HaParsha Azhar LaHakiv Kol HaKarbonos.
Outside the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Machaneh?
Well, outside the Beis HaMikdash in this context. I mean, any animal has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash and has to be brought. Oh, it says, I say, Shishchat Shorokhav, so is the Machaneh O Asher Yishchat Michutz LaMachaneh. Well, no, those are both problematic. And they don't bring it, they shecht it out in the machaneh or outside the machaneh, and don't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, so then you're going to be a bad guy. Okay, so the Ramban says in Pasuk Beis, "Bavur Yos Parshas Har LaHakiv Kol Karbanos BeOmoed." Meaning, this is a mitzvah. This is the command that all the karbanos have to be brought to the Omoed. Yazir HaKohanim Shem Akrivim Korban Shul Akrivim Lachut. So this is a command aid the Kohanim, that who are the ones who actually bring the karbanos, that they can't bring it outside. And it's also a command to Israel, Sheyavim Lashem, they have to bring it to Hashem. Sham below Yakrivu Sam Lachut Sal Yedayatzma, not to bring it by themselves on the outside. So he's pointing out this is a specific command both to Kohanim as well as to Yisraelim. Vanochum beparsha mashi skiru bebravu seinu sheaser baser taivali Yisrael. And the real understanding of what's going on here, says the Ramban, is that what's happening here is the Gemara, as based on the Gemara in Chulin, tells us sheaser baser taivali Yisrael bemidbar, that there was a prohibition on baser taiva. What is baser taiva? Basar, because you're hungry. Just to eat meat was prohibited in the Midbar. The only thing that was permitted was to bring a shlamim and then eat from that meat. Now, you get most of the meat when you're offering a shlamim. You're just offering the blood and the fats on the Mizbeach, so you get everything else. So you'll have plenty of meat, but you got to bring it, you got to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan itself. And that's why it says, if you shecht these three animals, so it's only these three, not necessarily other animals, meaning the shor chesef oeis, those are the ones that could be offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Other ones, it sounds like this prohibition is not going to be applicable to. What? Well, an ayil is a male. Class, I always forget which one's the male and which one's the female.
Or one of these?
Yeah.
Considered.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, fine. And then the other thing that's mentioned here is also that there's also a command, Shelo Yas Mizbeach LaShem B'chutz, that there also is a prohibition of making Mizbeachos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So, A, you have to bring it all to the Beis HaMikdash, and you have to offer it on the Karbanos, and the Karbanos are not able to be offered outside of the Beis HaMikdash, except for in a period of time when they work. Right. And this is also, the Ramban goes on and says later on,
so,
yeah, what?
When When we were slaves in Egypt, we had no meat.
Well, there's no Torah.
There's no
Shechit,
there's no.
Yeah. And then Rabban also makes this comment later on, Rabbanan Amrim Harbi Dvarim Asar Osam HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Chazer V'Timur Makom Acher, that there are many things that Hashem asserted and then came and permitted them later place. So this would be one of them. Hashem prohibited Basar Taiva and then came back and permitted it at a later date. Fine. So that's what's going on in the beginning of the Perek. Now the next issue, well, Pesach Omer Lo Evim Lakiv Korban Hashem Lotnei Mishkan Hashem Dam Yichashev LeIshahu Dam Shafach VeYichras HaIshahu Mikerav Amo, that the dam that will be spilled at that point will be considered spilled blood. So what's wrong about spilling animals' blood? Says the Sforno Kamosha Haya Inyan Kodem Mabul, like it was before the Mabul. There was a prohibition to just go around killing animals before the Mabul. So to kill animals outside the base of Migdash that aren't going to be brought as a korban would be considered, I don't know if I want to call it murder, but it would be considered a bad thing to do. Shalohutu Lam Larog Bali Chaim Lacham, that there weren't during before the Mabul, before the flood, there was no permissibility to kill Bali Chaim or to eat them. And the same thing would apply in the Midbar. Except there was permissibility of killing animals, but only in the base of Mikdash. But outside the base of Mikdash, it was not permissible. Fine. So let's move along here to Pasuk Zayin. So in Pasuk Zayin, the Pasuk says, V'lo yuzbechu odesiv cheichem, and you shall not...
I'm just trying to... They brought animals with them from Egypt.
Where did these animals come from?
Yeah,
so it sounds like they came from Egypt... And
didn't they bring sheep with them?
Yeah.
The sheep was sort of worshipped in Egypt.
Okay.
That's why you do the Pesach. That's why you have the lamb. Is,
yes.
Paschal lamb.
That's true.
It was a sacrifice, right?
Right. Yes, but they brought animals with. They had all the animals for the Mishkan. Where did they get those animals from?
But sheep was worshipped.
Look at the movie. In the movie, they're all walking out with these sheep all over the place.
They couldn't shaft them, except for sacrifice.
Yes, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Because they didn't live very far from the sacrificial spot.
But they knew that.
What do you mean knew that? Moshe told them. It says the barrel, but they Israel.
This is where Moshe is telling you.
Yes.
But what did they do up until now?
Up until now, it's been like a week. What do you mean?
You gotta have food.
What did they do before Matan Torah? Before Matan Torah, there was no prohibition. They did whatever they wanted. Right. But until the Mishkan was built, there was no Mishkan.
Okay.
Right, and now the Mishkan is built. It's like we're on Yud Beis Nisan, right? Because that's when the sons of Aaron were killed. No, I'm sorry. We're on Rosh Chodesh Nisan or so. That's when the sons of Aaron were killed.
Okay.
And now we're still in Nisan.
All right.
It's before Pesach. They didn't have time to eat anything. You know, they were eating pasta, whatever they had left over.
It's not before Pesach.
They
left Egypt, right?
It was a year later.
Oh, before the celebration.
Right, the Mishkan wasn't, the Mishkan Omo, right, the celebration of Yom HaShmini.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So now we're there, right? We have a description of the second Pesach that comes in, I think, Parshas Baaloscha.
Not Pesach Sheni.
No, the second Pesach. Yes, the second. They did offer Korbanos on. That's why there's a Pesach Sheni.
Right.
They had a second Pesach, and then there are people that complained that they couldn't offer those Korbanos. Fine. So. So here we get to Pasuk Zayin. Yud Zayin Zayin. So what happens in Yud Zayin Zayin? So it says, V'lo yizvechu odes zivcheichem, right? They will no longer slaughter their offerings. Lasi'irim. So what does that mean, lasi'irim?
The satyrs.
What is
it? S-A-T-Y-R.
That's what it says? How do you translate satyrs?
Demons!
Yes, that's what it says in the art scroll, right? Demons! To the demons! After whom they stray, they shall be an eternal decree to them for all their generations. So, Rashi says what? Rashi says, Sirim LaShedim. Right, he translates Sirim as Shedim. Right, what do we normally translate Sirim as? Goats. Right, a Seir is a goat.
Oh, that's why the demons, they have the horns, they're goats.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, let's see. So says the Ramban. So this is, I don't know of another comment that compares to this in terms of the Torah actually speaking about the Shadim, right? Do not offer korbanos to Shadim. Now, are these Shadim real or are they not real? So the Ramban says, Ki kol misha mevakish osam, right, so a second, Rashi commented, Lasim l'shadim, right? As we have this pasuk Yeshaya, that's Seir mirak du shamat. The Seirim were dancing, which is a reference to, which I guess if you look it up, it would be translating as demons. But says the Sforno, because they make the hair stands on head, they make the hairs of the body of the person looking at them stand on end, right? The word seir comes from hair, like sear. And then you have a third interpretation, and also that those that see them are crazy. Those that see them, the crazy people that see them, say that they look like goats. Umilas od Torah shekein ahayu Yisrael osim Mitzrayim. Then the word od is the mean that that's what they used to do in Egypt. Mean don't no longer serve them. The word od is lo yizhu odes ifkehem. No longer serve them, implying that what? That the Jews were offering korbanos to the demons in Egypt. That's what seems to be implied here. So continues the Ramban and says, Ki kol mi shemavakish osam umaymin behem hu zonu mitachas elohav. Right, plus those that believe in them, they are led astray from their God. Why? What's so bad about believing in the Shadim? Because he believes that there are those that can control, do good or bad for them, besides Hashem. Right, they're putting their belief in a being other than God. So far, Ramaz Ibn Ezra, Milas Oda, Emes Gashir Kasafti Lamala, right, V'chein Shem Hasirim Yisparech Lo Misham, comes from there. V'yikru Shadim, why are they called Shadim? Bavur, Shemeshkanim Bimakom, Shadud Kigon Hamidbar, that they stayed in their place, and they would be in their places that were devastated like a Midbar, meaning Shadim specifically hung out in places that were not populated. The Iker Mitziusam, and where is their main place that they're found? Biktsavos, in the corners of the world. Kagon, Peas Tsafon, the North Pole. Hacherev Mifneakur, that is empty because it's so cold there. So it's interesting. The Ramban A knew that it was cold there, and B knew that. That's where Santa Claus lived.
It existed.
Apparently,
North Pole wasn't even,
what? And Coke wasn't even started.
It was there.
No, but North Pole wasn't even explored at that time.
Of course it wasn't.
Well, there might not have been a pole yet. No, he knew that it got colder as he got north, and the Ibn Ezra had descriptions. The Ramban.
Oh, Ramban.
This is the Ramban talking here.
1500?
No, before that. 1200s. Oh. No, but the Ibn Ezra... 1100s actually. 1100 or 1200s.
It wasn't contemporary of Rashi.
He was after Rashi. He's quotes Rashi. He was
Rashi was the early one.
Yeah, and after the Rambam also. A little after the Rambam. So he But he also knew the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra did talk. Remember, we learned this. The Ibn Ezra did talk about being on a ship and traveling north and ending up in dense fog, which is what he compared to Makas Choshech. Right? So the Ibn Ezra is certainly quoted right here by the Ramban. So clearly it was known. People did travel up north and apparently made it back and told these stories of finding demons up at the North Pole. Okay. So Vida. Ki kasher habriya mitchila b'masa bereishis b'guf adam v'chol bali nefesh v'hatzmichim v'hamateichos me'arba yisodos. In the beginning of the creation, that a person is made from a person and all living beings and vegetation and minerals come from these four basic things. V'nischabru arbasim b'koach Elohai, and these are joined together by God. Right? What are the four basic powers? Earth, fire, water, and wind? Yeah. Right. Those were the four cardinals that were killed in the book. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The prequel to the Da Vinci Code, his first book, Angels and Demons.
Uh-huh.
Right? So they're... Okay. Anyways, so the Illuminati. So those we had Guf Gas, Murgash l'chol chamishas haragishos l'aviv l'gasoso, and they had a thick, coarse body from all these, and that they could sense with their five senses. Kachai say yitzir mishnei yisodus min eish v'avir v'ayam mihem guf enu nirgash v'lamushak l'echa min haragishos. And the demons had a body that you weren't able a person wasn't able to sense with their five senses. The Rabban continues on for a while to describe these shadim, but concludes at the end that what are we talking about? The problem with shadim are is that there seems to be they seem to be able to help you and not a Kaddish Baruch.
So this was shadim, not a shadim.
So was it real? So they believed it was real. Yeah,
they believed it was real.
I think so. The Rabban believed it was real, and it almost seems the Rambam seems it was real. Right? The Rambam talks about, he quotes here the Rambam for the Mor Nevuchim.
How come we can't find them today? Where are they?
They're in the North Pole.
But people live in North Pole. I've never
okay.
Heard
well, you can't see them. Why can't you see them? So the Sforno here actually gives, I think, a little bit of a better explanation as to these things. And he actually talks about why they can't be seen. So the Sforno here comments, Shul yizuchu las irim, that you should not offer korbanos to demons. So aval pishalo ayu makablon osam le'lo habishum panim, if you don't accept them as God. Aval hayu chafitzim b'chevra sam, you just want to be friends with them. Leos ha'shedim lehem misharsim b'sayim b'askeim u'shlichuchem shal El Eretz Rechoka, right? Because they have a way of, they can help you out, right? The Shadim could be servants and help you out and go places for you. Kamo Shehaskiru Al Yosef Sheda, like we learn in the Gemara in Erevin, that Mem Gilam Aralf, about Yosef the Shade. Val Sheda to have a Sheikh be Ravashi, and apparently there was also a Shade in the house of Ravashi. Now, Ravashi is a late guy. Ravashi is an Amora. He's living a couple hundred years after 300. Ravina was one of the authors of the Gemara. So he's assumed to have lived in the 400th, in the 5th century already. And the Gemara records that he had a Shade. What did these Shadim do for them? So I looked up both of these Gemaras. It's interesting. So number one, the Gemara in Erev, and the Gemara is not making a big deal about the Shadim. The Gemara is just like, kind of. Yes. But throws it in passing, just says, "Oh yeah, like Yosef the Shade." Why? Because there is a Gemara. The Gemara in Irvin is talking about the din. There is a possible halacha that the Tchum Shabbos. There's no prohibition of Tchum Shabbos above 10 tefachim. That the only prohibition of Tchum Shabbos is walking on the ground. If you're above 10 tefachim, so then you don't have to worry about Tchum Shabbos anymore. So the Gemara brings as a proof from that there's a story that on the same Shabbos, somebody came to both Pumpadisa as well as to Surah to announce these seven halachos having to do with Tumah V'Tahara. So how did the same guy appear both in Sur and Pumpadisa on the same Shabbos? So Gemara first suggests, well, it must have been Eliyahu Hanavi. And Eliyahu Hanavi, if he's able to walk from Sur to Pumpadisa, so the only way he could do it would be if he'd be above 10 tefachim. Otherwise, Eliyahu would be in violation of the Tchum. And that's obviously not allowed. So obviously, there must be a din that if you're above 10 tefachim, it should be permissible. So then the Gemara responds by saying, no, not necessarily. It didn't necessarily have to be Eliyahu. It could have been Yosef Sheda. It could have been this shade called Yosef. And the Shadim are not bound by the halakha of Tchum Shabbos. Okay, that's example number one that's brought up in Gemara and Chulin. Talks about that Ravashi once sent this shade to go get water for him. Right, he was. You have to go to the well. It was hard work getting the daily allotment of water that they had. So he sent the shade out to get the water for him, and the shade took a while to get back. So Ravashi come or to the stream, wasn't to the well, it was to the stream. So when he got back, Ravashi says, "Nu, what did you take you so long? Why do I pay you the big bucks, Mr. Shade? You took a lot. You took much longer than I expected." He says, "Well." You know, it was a problem because I saw these other shadim there and they were like messing with the water. So I had to wait for them to leave in order to fill up the water. So Ravashi, the Gemara continues on and says that Ravashi says, oh, so the Gemara continues on and says, Ravashi says, okay, well, thank you very much. And then Ravashi went and spilled out the top of the water. Why did he spill the top of the water? So there is apparently an idea to spill the top of the water because of a concern about shadim. So this shade says, hey, had I known that you would pour out the top of the water anyways, I wouldn't have taken so long because I wouldn't have been bothered by the fact that these other shadim were there and messing with the water. Okay, so anyways, so what's the tzfor? Both of them are pointing out. The tzfor is just simply pointing out. And you see two Gemaras where you have helpful Shadim, right? That seem to be an aid to these Amoraim. Both of them already in the period of the Amoraim in Bavel, right? Not in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel. So, Amna B'davar HaShadim HaShir Lo Nisgra B'riyasam Roy Lisvonin. But the Shadim, which are not mentioned, their creation is not mentioned, right? We didn't see anything voracious about the creation of Shadim. it's good to take a moment and figure it out. And hence the Sforno says, I will write the longest Sforno that I know of in the entire Torah. Pretty long. I'll write my little dissertation on Shadim here. So what does he say? He says, Shehim Zal Karim Mazikim. And they are actually referred to as Mazikim. Why are they Mazikim? So Shadim are known as Mazikim. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, out of the blue, Norm comes over to me, Norm Garfield comes over to me and says, yeah, Rabbi, I don't know if you've, just a question, I don't know if you know anything about it. What's the difference between Shadim and Mazikim? I don't know. But since then, we've come across a few references about this, and here's one of them, that they are known as Mazikim. V'skirushim ochlem v'shosim parim v'rabim umesim. And we have stories that they eat, drink, and they multiply, and they die. V'im kolze roem ve'inam nirim. On the other hand, they see, and they're not seen. Right? We can't see them. You're complaining why we don't see them around. So the Torah acknowledges that they're not seen. V'chol elu.
How did he see them? I mean,
he didn't see them.
How did he know they're around?
Oh, well, the Gemara talks about them. So, and right?
Even though you don't see them, you know they're around. Like the invisible man.
Hold on, oh cynical one.
Says, the back of your neck stands up.
He says they must be made of some material that is extremely, extremely thin, and therefore you're not able to see it. But they eat and drink. That the fact that they eat and drink, right? It must be that their food that they're eating and drinking turns something to something very fine, so that they're able to gain sustenance from it. And it happens to be that we have no material or no substance that is thinner than blood. Or pieces or the may also aid hadam, like the probably if you like a blood congeals so it separates and there's a thin part and a thick part. I feel like that's what he's talking about, I'm not sure. Maybe the thin part of blood. Which actually is what gives us life. So that material that they're made of is the very material that gives us life. Right, and without this, we wouldn't have nefesh. Right, amru ki adam hu nefesh, that the blood is actually the nefesh is what gives us our sustenance, our soul. Uvioso mazul l'shedim hinei amakriv lehem dam asher bo zeh ha'etzem she'ein choch b'yadam lakachto. He says, and that's the problem, and that it's going to get into the prohibition of eating blood. That's the next section of this chumash. So the problem with giving them blood, they have no ability to take blood from us. Right, we only said they're demons, they're not vampires. Right, so they can't take blood from us. If we share our blood with them, so then that's going to be a problem, right? Ka'amram kol midei detzayir, also Gemara and Chulin, kol midei detzayir v'chasim v'kayil u'mani leislan reshusu l'mishkal mine. Anything that we don't give them, they don't have reshus to take from them. Yikna avasam va'ochlu yikna mezeg nota letavim v'yavu chavertu. But people might give to them in order to gain their friendship, right? We saw that they have the ability to do things for us, so people might share blood with them. V'chasher hayu rabim chafitzim v'chever sashedim v'avasam. I mean, many people want to have the friendship of these shadim and their love. Why? Because she say Yehuba Shagas Ha Erev Ha Bilti Moel Asher Taivasu Niknis Bachilas Eitzadas, so that people will be able to acquire. They think that shadim will be able to lead them to acquire pleasures such that Adam sought to get or Chava sought to get by the Eitzadas. I mean, those things that were punished with regards to the Eitzadas are those things that we mean, and we see as pleasurable, even though they're not, are those pleasures which we seek to gain from being with demons.
What do they want the blood for? I missed something.
That's their sustenance. So they're, I mean, we give them the blood, that's what they're able to live off of, because anything that's thicker than blood, they won't be able to eat. Otherwise, it will look like food floating in the air.
Oh, because they're ephemeral.
Because they're so thin.
Ephemeral.
Oh, what does ephemeral mean?
Ephemeral means they're like very thin.
Right. Right, so as opposed to non-existent.
Right.
Right. That's the Sfornu's read here. And by us eating blood and eating their blood and giving them eating blood, we are then able to join with them. So what did Hashem do? Hashem said there's a prohibition of eating blood, so that you have no connection with the demons. The only blood that you're going to have anything to do with is that blood which is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, in which case you're turning it into Kedusha, etc., and therefore you'll have nothing to do with the Shadim. The Sforno continues on for a while, but that's, I think, his thesis. Take it or leave it. Yes?
The Shadim, or the Satyrs, they're associated with fertility. So that goes along with what you said about Adam and Eve and procreating.
Okay.
So people would offer sacrifice, possibly, pursue these demons to give them fertility.
Okay, fine.
Now that makes sense.
I'll accept it.
Well, I didn't say it made sense. I'm just saying.
I'm skeptical.
You're skeptical? There's a picture.
Oh, there's a picture of an invisible demon.
Right.
Could you imagine there? They have a picture.
Many pictures. In the movies today.
Okay, so anyways, so that is the read here on demons. Okay, so as we continue on in the parak.
But why does it say, no, seriously, they said you shouldn't offer carbonus to demons.
Correct.
Does it say you shouldn't offer carbonus to foreign gods? Or?
Well, yes, we do have that elsewhere.
We have that elsewhere.
Right, but this is, but I think with the Ramban and the Sforno, what they're trying to say is that this isn't the same, it's not the same as Avodah Zarah. Okay. Avodah Zarah means foreign gods that are somehow, that if they the assumption is that they exist as independent entities from our God, and therefore we have to appease them, right? Demons are creations just like us, but they're a way of seeking friendship and perhaps seeking slavery, I don't know, seeking servants, seeking help and pleasure and connections, etc. So that's what the Sforno is saying. Also, you can't do.
Is demons negative? I mean, we use the term demon as evil and negative. It doesn't sound like a demon.
They didn't necessarily. We had Yosef, Yosef Shade, and the other Shade, right, who were helpful demons.
It's almost like a malach. What's the difference between a demon?
Well, there are both. There sounds like there's shadim that were helpful, but they're often mazikim. They're often damagers. And perhaps that's what the Sforno was driving at, that they're those that people seek for their pleasures, which they sought because of the Eitz Hadas. Right, and they could help us, and they could help the person get those specific pleasures, and those would qualify as mazikim.
Or fertility. We said before, when they did away with when the temple was destroyed and all of the
yes, the Yitzhahara, right? The Yitzhahara was captured, right?
There were no children, so they this is all in that realm.
Okay.
Of fertility and it can be a negative, but it's not necessarily. It's negative if you actually go to the demon and try and deal with the demon, but the idea of fertility is negative.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So fine. So, but there is does seem to be right. The Sforno does label at least some as mazikim, and then we can understand why they would be damaging. If you use the negative ones, that those would be damaging to this world.
They were also associated with drinking, excessive drinking, because in Greek mythology, so all that whole genre
erase the demons.
Vile.
Yeah. All right. Not.
The vice. Yes.
Okay, not so holding in that. All right, so another Ramban on Pasuk Yud Aleph. So it says, "Kol nefesh basar b'dam hi v'ani nesati l'chem l'zbeach." Meaning, all the nefesh of flesh comes from blood, and I say to put on mizbeach in order to gain a kapara, ki dam hu benefesh yichaper. Because the dam is the nefesh that could gain atonement, and therefore I tell Bnei Israel, "Kol nefesh b'chem lo tochal dam." You shall not eat blood. Ba'ger garbesochem lo yochal dam, and nor should the ger. Unclear who that ger is referring to, but he also should not be eating blood. Don't eat blood. Not a good thing to do. So says the Ramban, "Mashmos hakasu azeh sheyomer sheyasu lanu hadam." Why? Because they should nastu lanu lios al mizbeach chaper nafshosenu. Right. So it sounds like, says the Ramban, that why did Hashem prohibit blood? Because Hashem wants it on the Mizbeach, and that it should be a kapara for us. And therefore, why do we also prohibit the blood, which from the chai and the oaf? I mean, the chai and the oaf can't be offered on Mizbeach anyway, so maybe that blood we should be able to eat. So, because Hashem wants to stay away from all blood, stay away from all blood, but some of the blood can be brought on the Mizbeach for your kapara. Then he quotes the Mor Nevuchim, ki ayu hakastim muasim adam v'yashivu lahem l'tuma, that people detested blood, the early Avodah Zarah people, they hated blood, they thought that it led to tumah, aval yochlumi, they would eat from it, harotzim lischaber l'shem, those that wanted to connect to shedim would eat from it, and therefore the Torah is telling us, this is another part of staying away from shedim. Ve'ilu dram yushavim, that's good answers, aval haksuvim lo yorukim, he says, but that doesn't seem to be what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk is telling us, shehem yamru tamid b'tam iser. In this case, the Pasuk actually gives us the reason for the prohibition. Ki nefesh kol basar dama b'nafsho, ki nefesh basar dam. Right, it tells us that basar is connected to nefesh, and you shouldn't eat the nefesh with the basar, meaning you can eat the flesh but don't eat the life source of the flesh. And then we can give the explanation, Hashem created all the things in the lower world for the help of man, because man is the only one that recognized God. But even so, Hashem only permitted eating vegetables. Not bali nefesh, and not other things that were living, but then came Bereshit and says, no, I gave them. As it says in Bereshit, that and when the Mabul came, we were saved and we saved the animals, therefore we're allowed to eat it. So Hashem permitted the guf of those that were alive avur ha'adam, in order to be benefit from the needs of man. And the nefesh will be for a kapara of man. And how would that be for a kapara of man? That will be offered on Mizbeach. So therefore the Ramban is splitting between the basar and the dam. Basar gets eaten and the dam gets put onto the Mizbeach, and therefore you should also cover the blood. We cover the blood only of chaya and oaf. So there's a mitzvah of kisui adam, but the kisui adam is only for birds and for chayos, right? Because the behemos, those get offered on the Mizbeach. So the blood of the Mizbeach gets offered on the Mizbeach, and the other animals get shechted. That blood should be covered.
Really,
that's the way the Ramban understands it. So birds are even. So he adds in here, right? Kigamba ofa. The Ramban. Yeah, it's true. The Ramban acknowledged that. That's true. Birds were brought on this bay. He says kigamba ofa lo yikrav mehem rak shnei mina. There are only two types of birds that were bilvad v'gamihim in the shchatim. And even they weren't shechted. But behemos, those were brought, and therefore that's the divisions that the Torah makes. Okay. Yes, we're out of time. I guess we have a halacha day coming up. Probably either Kisui Adam or Malicha seem like pretty good candidates for this week.